Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. Today, I am speaking with Kelly Thompson of Serenity Sleepers. Kelly was recently voted one of the top sleep consultants in the United States, and she was educated by the Institute of Pediatric Sleep and Parenting. This mom of three, ranging from ages 2 to 8, has a ton of experience, and she is here to speak with me about environment in sleep. That's right, we're going to talk about the things that you can control and how to create that gold standard sleep environment for your infant or adolescent. So without further ado, here is Kelly Thompson from Serenity Sleepers. All right, on the line, I've got Kelly with Serenity Sleepers. Welcome, Kelly, to the Run Lift Mom podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here on the Run Lift Mom podcast and share more about sleep.
Kelly, we are really excited to have you. What I love is not only does your experience go deep, it also goes pretty wide. I let the audience know your credentials and your experience. Wow. Can you tell me, what is your favorite thing about being a sleep consultant?
One of my favorite things about being a sleep consultant is getting to connect with my families, getting to help them find one of the things that is so important for us is sleep and helping them develop peaceful sleepers with their little ones. I feel like sometimes people don't know how to find that sleep and how can they help their little ones get that sleep and just connecting with them. So just working with them, being a former teacher, I love to help and educate. And that's one of the biggest things that I offer families is educating them on proper and healthy sleep.
And so obviously you could probably take our entire half hour to talk about this, but can you hit the high point on why sleep is important for like infants and adolescents?
So of course I could take the whole time because sleep goes deep and there's so many reasons it's important, but you know, it's developmentally important for us to give our body that good solid sleep. So infants and children are able to hit those milestones, especially in the first year. Babies are going through so much developmentally, mentally, physically, emotionally. And when we have the proper sleep in place, they're able to hit those huge milestones that we want them to meet as families and as parents. We want to see that happen. So that's one of the biggest things is I love to see them be able to thrive when that sleep's in place. And also it just makes a family feel extra refreshed when they wake every day or they have a child that's napping on point. It makes everyone in a better mood.
For sure. Hey, girl, I am the mom of, they're now 3-year-old triplets, but I can tell you, when we've all slept, I'm talking all of us, you're right. It is good for the whole family.
Yes, this is a good energy shot for the soul.
Yes. Okay. Well, Kelly, I've brought you on specifically to talk about sleep environment. I love giving the audience like actionable advice on these shows. So can you touch on the environment our baby or children are sleeping in? Why that's important?
So the sleep environment is one of the most important factors we can actually control and set up for our baby or our child. So any outside factors can greatly impact that overall sleep. So we want to be sure that we create that, first of all, that false darkness. So for during naps or right now, summer's approaching. So that sun is rising super early in the morning and it's setting super late. So we want to be able to control those factors that we can. And first is the completely dark room. We don't want any extra night lights or outside lights that could affect them from getting that good solid sleep. We also want to use proper blackout curtains or blackout shades. That is a great way to keep that light from shining in.
Oh, I love that you're saying like to focus on what you can control. You know, it's funny. This is Run Lift Mom. So we have guests from across the gamut and we find the same thing in fitness. You find those controllables and you really get a good grasp on those because there's so much that's outside of our control. I love that we're talking about it with sleep as well. Do you have a recommendation on like blackout curtains or shades? Like, what should we be looking for when we're shopping online or we're in Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever?
So what you ideally want to look for is something that is super dark. So if you are just at Bed Bath & Beyond and you want to do a simple, quick, you know, fix, making sure you have a thick, dark curtain or a thick, dark sheet that you can put up, because we want that to be able to eliminate that sunlight from coming in. One of my favorite blackout options is called Easy Blackout Shades. They are the simplest to put up. They keep all light out and they're so easy to take down. So
awesome. I will link that in the show notes too. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And everybody that has used them, I've even used them with my children. They're amazing.
Awesome. So I'm curious. So let's talk about like travel. So, you know, we're going on the family beach trip or we're going to the mountains for a weekend or something like that. What do you suggest parents do like in a fix? You know what I mean? To create that dark environment elsewhere.
So one of my favorite little quick fixes, and I do this when I go on vacation with my own children or out of town, is of course, get your dark blanket or dark sheet that you can bring from your house. And of course, you forgot it, you know, go to Walmart, go to Target, grab you a dark sheet or curtain, and then go buy the chip bag clips.
So
no chip clips. And what you do is you just easily find the window and you take those chip clip bags and you can clip that curtain or sheet up on the edges of that window. And that way you can create your own and easily take it up and down. You can also, if there's nothing to clip it on, like the window seals, you can't clip it on, then you can get those, they're the little stickies that you stick to the wall and they have the hook, the command strips.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The command strips will have the hooks so you can actually clip the chip bag clips to the hooks on each side of the window. And that's how you can hang up the curtain or the sheet over the window.
Great, great idea. You know, we used to live in Alaska and we would aluminum foil the windows. Let me tell you, the chip clips and sheet or towel or something like that with command strips sounds a whole lot easier than aluminum foiling your entire window.
It's way easier, less time consuming. And I will tell you, the command strips with it actually came from my dad. We were in a pinch one day on vacation and I was like, there is nothing on these window seals. I don't know how. And my dad thought for a minute and he said, I got it.
Yes. Way to go. So, so we've got a dark environment. We know that's especially important in, you know, the summertime as we're approaching that time where there's more light. What about noise or other environmental factors?
So the noise is very important, especially in the morning when we get that early morning time frame, that 4 to 5 a.m. when our melatonin is starting to wear off and we start to notice sounds a lot easier. So your neighbor who's getting ready for work or the garbage man coming. So we want to try and help our baby. Again, we can control these factors. Have that white noise, a white noise machine, or now we have apps on our phone, on your iPad, you can download the best white noise. And the funny thing, a lot of people think is there's only white noise, but there's actually multiple types of noise. There's brown noise, there's purple noise, there's white noise, there's pink noise.
So you're blowing my mind. So how do you know the difference?
So you can actually, the best way to do it is to get on an app, just download a white noise app on your phone or your iPad, and you can go through the different noises and see which one fits you best. For instance, I prefer brown noise. It has a little bit deeper sound for me.
Okay.
And I will, you can easily just go through each of the noises and see which one you find best for you and what you think your child might like best.
So does the different color, I mean, obviously I think for somebody like me who is not a sleep expert, I'm using white noise as like a blanket term for all like, you know, dryer, fan, crickets, whatever. Is there something different that happens with our brains with like a brown noise versus a white noise?
Yeah. So sometimes it just clicks in our signal a little bit better and our body's able to get into a deeper, more set sleep when we have a certain specific noise. Sometimes some of them are too high pitched and some of them might be too low pitched. And the reason I prefer a type of noise, like a white noise, is sometimes if you have a fan or something that's not a constant noise, it can interrupt those sleep cycles. And so you may have a baby that's going from one sleep cycle to the next, and all they have is a fan or a noise that's not that constant, and it can trigger them to wake up and interrupt that sleep that they were trying to move on into the next sleep cycle.
Ah, so what I hear you saying is noise is not noise. Noise, like one noise is not maybe the same as the next. When we're thinking about it from a sleep environment perspective, we've got to get that constant that is going to be best for the individual.
Exactly. And a lot of these now sound machines will have timers on them. And I tell families, make sure you turn that off. We want constant. They may only run it for 2 hours. Well, when it's 4 a.m. and your neighbor's starting their car and leaving for work and super noisy. So we want to make sure there's no timer on it. We want to keep it constant running.
Awesome. Okay, so we've got a dark room. We've got the perfect pitch noise for baby or adolescent. Is there anything else we should be considering?
So one of the other things you want to really consider is, especially once you get in the toddler or preschool age, I know a lot of families want to start introducing night lights or extra lights, because at this age, we do see more fears or where they could be scared of things. But I've seen more people try and put lamps and turn on closet lights and everything. And we have to remember that melatonin is going to set into place in the late evening overnight when we have complete darkness. So we don't want to introduce a lot of extra light into a child's room. Want to do a night light, put a small night light that's subtle in their closet and crack the door.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah, that
just gives them that
sense of security, but you're not overflowing the room with large amounts of light.
Yeah. So what age would you say for like a dim night light in the closet?
Usually I say once a child is transitioned into their bed or their toddler bed is a good time if you feel they need it to go ahead and introduce one, especially because they're going to be getting in and out of their bed. Don't do it if there's no concerns or, you know, they enjoy the complete dark. You know, there's no reason to introduce it. But if you see them starting to have a little bit of fear, especially once they've transitioned to that toddler bed, go ahead and put one, again, a subtle one in the closet and start from there.
Love it. So maybe night lights are it, but what's a common mistake that you see moms making when they're setting up an infant's nursery or even when they're setting up that toddler room with the toddler bed? Like what's a no-brainer mistake we can avoid?
Yes. So the biggest one I see all the time is the mobiles and the light projectors.
I know exactly what you're talking about because we see them on everybody's baby registry.
Yes.
Why is that so bad?
I was going to say, and we see it on every beautiful photo that we see. It's gorgeous. And it's fine, you know, for playtime or if you're laying them in the crib while you put away some laundry and you're trying to entertain them, that's great. But when it's sleep period, nap times and bedtime and overnight sleep, we do not want to have mobiles and those light projectors on. They can just overstimulate and it can make it very hard to calm down and get in that sleep environment that we want to see, that calming environment.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, speaking of calming environment or lack thereof, what would you say to a mom like me who I've got siblings sharing rooms? Like we've got four kids. And so it's two and two at this point because mortgage. So I would love to create this perfect sleep environment, right? Like that is great for this individual child, but we're just not in that season where everybody can have their own room. So what are some strategies you might use with someone like me?
So I work with families in your situation a lot. And the biggest factor we want to do is we want to create their own space and their own separation as much as we can within that room. Mm. So it's that each child's going to have their own sound machine. Each child's going to have what I call you can actually put a divider within the room. So that gives them their own space and they're able to feel like even though they don't have their own room, they do have a section of their own room and they can have their own items in their sections. And that's
okay.
important, especially when we're talking about if we have a baby that's rooming with a toddler. I've seen where the toddler likes to get up and, you know, go over there and stare at the baby or wake them up sometimes in the morning or, you know, be loud. And it really helps having that room divider in place. So the toddler can see this is your bed with your space and your blankets and your sound machine. And then baby brother over here is going to have their own, you know, divider, and they're going to have their own space and sound machine and their sleep sack and everything over here. So it helps to give them private space, but within the room.
I love that. I love how you're saying to really create that different personal individual space. And I like that you pointed out different ages, because I realize I'm probably the only person seeking your advice, Kelly, that has children of the exact same age sharing rooms.
So no, I see a lot that share rooms at the exact same ages, but usually we do get different ages a lot of times.
So is that the same for like nighttime versus naps? Like, I'll give you an example. You know, I've got a 5-year-old and then a 3-year-old, right, that are roommates at night. Should I be putting them down for naps or quiet time in the same room as well? Or should I make an effort to split them up?
So with that age, with a 3-year-old and 5-year-old, the 5-year-old's more than likely just doing a rest time at this point. Usually I say, let them go out and have their own rest, quiet time in another space. So then your 3-year-old, who is still taking a solid nap, is able to have their own space, because they're actually going to be sleeping in there. So it's best when you have ages like that, if they're able to, the 5-year-old go to their own space, do that, and then the 3-year-old can nap in their room. You want to see that happen.
Awesome. Anything else? You know, we're going to definitely get into some rapid fire to close it out here, but I'm curious, anything else that I'm missing here? I'm naturally going for the obvious stuff. What does the room need to sound and look like? And what about a sharing scenario? Anything else that parents overlook when they're thinking about sleep environment?
So one of the big things I see that's overlooked, and especially when we're talking about preschool and elementary age children, is the electronics. Sometimes we forget in the evening that we really need to cut those electronics out, because it can give a lot of overstimulation, especially before you're going to bed. And I tell parents, you know, even a 30 to 45 minutes, cutting off any TVs, iPads, anything, any kind of games that are overstimulating is really important to do.
So eliminating that screen time in the evenings.
Yes.
Very good.
Very important. And it also really helps the body calm when we take, you know, just 30 or 40 minutes before bed and shut everything off. And with my own family, I have 3 children of my own, and I take time in the evening just to give them baths and talk about their day and prepare them for bedtime, preparing their bodies for the more calming time that's to come.
Yeah. So getting into that routine. And I want to mention here, just to remind folks, I mean, your kids span from 2 to 8. So again, you're going deep and wide there.
Yes, I am. And the thing about it is, when I've seen each of my children is completely different when it comes to sleep. So I have been there, I've done that, I'm going through it with you. And that's what I love about working with families, is I'm right here in that season of life with you.
Oh, I love that you point that out as well, just the individual needs.
Yes, it's so important that they're all uniquely different and they all need their specific things. So remember that when you're working with your own children, that they each want different things and need different things from you. So try your best to give them what they need individually.
Awesome. All right, we're going to end with some rapid fire, Kelly. This is just for fun, probably not sleep related. Let's have some fun with a fellow mom. Tell us something funny one of your kids did this week.
Oh my goodness. So we went out of town for a couple of days, the first time ever me and my husband have gone out of town and left our children. And this just happened last week, and my mom made them spaghetti. Well, she sent pictures. They all 3 had their shirts off. They had spaghetti from head to toe. My mom asked if I had ever fed them before, because they looked as though they were starving. And they were just having the best time, which when you're a mom and you've left them for the first time, that was really made my heart happy, that they were loving their dinner, but also just having a great time. And it was covered on them and covered on my countertops and everywhere.
I love it. I love it when we're able to, for a second, take our, you know, the part of us that might like want to panic and clean and snap an image to have that memory. That is great.
Yes, I've kept it. I put a heart on it. So I knew that I wanted to keep this one forever.
Yes. All right. So you're on Run, Lift, Mom. If you've got an hour to work out, what is your favorite thing to do, Kelly?
So my absolute favorite thing is to take an outside distance run and then do either a cardio kickboxing class or a HIIT type of class. That is
my girl. Let's go for a run or really get our sweat on. I like how you're making the most of your time there.
Yes, exactly. And working out, that is one of my favorite things to do. I've always been into it and just makes me, it motivates me and makes me feel like a better mom, a better, you know, person for my clients. I'm able to help them even more. So working out is vital for me.
Awesome. And it's a definitely an excellent form of self-care for every mom. So lastly, how about advice for your younger self? I'm talking, go back like 10 years before you became a mom. What advice would you give her?
So I think the biggest thing I would give her is to live out your goals and your dreams. And don't let anyone hold you back from what you see as your journey and your destination. My older self would worry about what others think, or is this what I should be doing, or was this a good choice to move forward in this, for instance, my business. And at the end of the day, it's my goals, it's my dreams, it's what I am working towards to make myself and my life better. So just ignoring that outside noise and do what you know is the best for you.
I love it. And I don't even think we have to go back 10 years to really take that advice to heart. I can't think of a better way to wrap things up. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you, Susie. And I really appreciate you having me on the show. And I hope that this is able to help so many mothers and families get more solid sleep.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but now I have a list of some things that I can do to upgrade my kids' sleep environment. Thank you so much, Kelly, for coming on to share those things, to include travel considerations as well as room sharing considerations. And until I get in your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8, and this has been the Run Lift Mom podcast. It's time for the Zaya Active item of the week, and this week it is the copper charge tank. If you've known me for a minute, you have heard me refer to CPW. CPW stands for cost per wear, and since college, I have been calculating my wardrobe as such. Cost of item divided by number of times you wear it. That's your true cost, and my CPW on the copper charge tank, y'all, definitely less than a dollar. Here's why I wear it so much. I am a marathon runner. I do a lot of long efforts, and I really love that this is seamless and, as such, chafe-free. When I'm not doing running, I'm doing a lot of CrossFit-esque things in my garage, such as like handstand holds or inversions, and I love that there's a functional band at the bottom so like the bottom of it doesn't fly up in my face. Another thing that I love about it, I've had activewear that like when I wash it 50, 60 times, yo, it starts to stink. There is nothing that I can do to get the stank out. This is an exception, and here's why. It's made with 4% copper thread, and that is going to keep the stink out, and that's really good because I wash it a lot. The CPW is low. For your consideration, the copper charge tank. Check me out, #RunLiftMom on all the socials. Get you some. I am beyond excited to announce that Red H Nutrition is an official partner of the Run Lift Mom podcast. I've been a Red H sponsored athlete since November of 2018, which means that I've trained for multiple marathons, 100K trail race, while using these products to supplement my training as well as on race day. And I think that you can take it to the bank. They work. Some of my favorites are Super Greens, Super Flexi, and ZenRem, but you can click on details in the show notes to shop Red H Nutrition and check it out for yourself. Use code RUNLIFTMOM, that's RUNLIFTMOM, just like the name of this show, to save 10%. Again, just click on details in your show notes, shop Red H Nutrition, and then use code RUNLIFTMOM at checkout for 10% off. Thank you for your support of the Run Lift Mom podcast. This is a passion project for me that began in February of 2019 and now has over 10,000 listens. It's amazing. This is where I uplift other women and create communities around the areas of running, lifting, and motherhood. If you haven't yet done so already, please rate, review, and subscribe. That helps folks find the podcast and it keeps this passion project going.